your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6. I'm going to read verses 6 through 10 of Acts chapter 16. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Notice that word we. It's the first time in all the book of Acts you have the word we. The book of Acts was written by the apostle Luke. So no doubt about it that Luke joins them. He was a doctor, and Luke joined them here because it's always been the third person. They did thus and so, but all of a sudden it's in the first person plural, we. So Luke joins them there, and he says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Before I pray, let me say this. The Bible study I'm going to give tonight is meticulous. It's the kind that I need a good voice to give because it's not really spectacular. It's nitty-gritty. It's beans and taters. But probably the most helpful Bible study on the Holy Spirit I've ever taught in my life. For this Bible study, I read the entire book of Acts one time through carefully. I don't mean I just read it. I mean I read it and looking for truths and so forth, as you'll find in a few minutes. Then I turned around and went back to the ninth chapter and started over again and read the ninth chapter, the rest of the book of Acts. Then turned around, went back to the 13th chapter and started over and read the 13th chapter through chapter 28 all over again. So I've read the 13 through 28 chapters three times. I've read chapters 9 through 28. I've read those twice, and I've read the entire book once. So I've done not what you'd call research, but I've done a lot of work on it. And I'll call this the way the Apostle Paul found the will of God. If we can find the greatest Christian that ever lived and find out how God led him, certainly it could help us. So tonight we're going to investigate. I have gone through, and again, don't hold me to this because my numbers may be wrong. I may have overlooked something, but as best I can, I have gone through and checked every time in the book of Acts the Apostle Paul had a decision to make. I have checked how that decision was made and how God led him to make the right decision, if, in fact, he did make the right decision, which one time he did not. So I've often wondered. In fact, I got thinking about this. I thought, wouldn't it be good if we could find out from great Christians like Billy Sunday and Dwight Moody and Charles Haddon Spurgeon how they found the will of God for their lives, and how they decided what the will of God was. And I got thinking. Well, good night. I've known great Christians who passed away, Brother Olaf, Brother John Rice, Brother Bob Jones Sr. Maybe I could find out from them how they found the will of God and how they would find the right decision to make. And then I thought, the greatest Christian who ever lived, apart from our Savior, was the Apostle Paul. And by the way, the book of Acts spans 30 years of his life. From the time he got saved to the time he went to heaven, every major decision Paul made is in the book of Acts between chapters 9 and 28. And tonight I'm going through all those major decisions and show you how, in each case, the Apostle Paul found the will of God. I think if you listen to me the first 15 minutes very carefully, I think it'll unveil to you And I think you'll get some tremendous help. Our Father, help us tonight as we teach the Word of God. First place, I've got a study I think will help everybody. The second place, I pray you'd help me to be able to speak so folks can understand me easily and comfortably. And I pray tonight should be a time of benefit for all of us, not only for tonight, but for the rest of our lives as we seek day after day after day how to choose and live in the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, now we come to teach the Bible. I do not know any clearer way than to teach how to find the will of God than to find out how the greatest Christian who ever lived found that will. So I pray you'd help us to listen carefully and prayerfully and attentively. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, listen carefully. Paul got saved, as you know, on the Damascus Road. The first thing he had to do after he got saved was to find out where to go. In other words, what he said, what would thou have me to do? Now he's a babe in Christ. Here he is. He didn't have a soul winner beside him. He suddenly was smitten on the road to Damascus and blinded. His eyes, are you listening to me now? His eyes were blind, and he knew nothing about the Christian life. He had persecuted Christians, even killed them. Now here he is on Damascus Road. The first thing in the will of God in Paul's life, some friends led him to Damascus. Don't forget that. Some friends led him to Damascus. Paul did not know the will of God for his life. Some friends did know the will of God for his life, and they led him to Damascus. Secondly, Paul is now in Damascus. God wants Paul to go to Jerusalem, but Paul does not know how to find out. So he is taken by the disciples to Jerusalem. So the Apostle Paul, known as Saul of Tarsus then, from salvation to Damascus, he was taken by some friends. And then from Damascus to Jerusalem, he was taken by some disciples. Number three. Now God wants Paul to go to Tarsus. He is from Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus is what he's been called. And he wants him to go. But Paul is young. He doesn't know how to find the will of God. He's been saved just a few days. How can God get his will told to Saul? I'll say Paul all the way through here. Paul. So Paul can go to Tarsus. Simply this. The Bible says he was sent by the brethren. Now, he has gone from the Damascus Road to Damascus. From Damascus all the way back down, a long journey to Jerusalem. Now way back up beyond Damascus to Tarsus. And so far he's not made one single decision himself. Are you listening? Not one single decision himself. He is directed in the will of God by more seasoned Christians. All right? Now then, here's Damascus, here's Jerusalem, and here's Tarsus up here. So he is led to Damascus, taken to Jerusalem, sent to Tarsus. Now, God wants Paul to come down to Antioch. Damascus here, Jerusalem here, Tarsus here. Now God wants him back at Antioch. The great church is growing up in Antioch, and several wonderful preachers there, the main one of which was Barnabas. Barnabas decided that he wanted Paul to come back and help him pastor, to work on his staff, if you please, to be an assistant pastor or an associate pastor. So Barnabas goes up to Tarsus and brings Paul down to Antioch. Now we're talking about hundreds of miles so far have been traveled. The Damascus Road, to Damascus, down to Jerusalem, back up to Tarsus, back up to Antioch, and Paul has not made one decision yet. See what I'm saying? Baby Christian, don't forget that. Don't forget that. Paul has not made one single decision yet. Some friends led him to Damascus. Some brethren, our disciples, took him to Jerusalem. He was sent by the brethren to Tarsus and brought by Barnabas back to Antioch. We'll go further. God wants Paul to go to the mission field. Now, wait a minute. He hadn't made a decision on his own yet. Not one major decision had Paul made on his own as yet. Not one. And he's already got to go to the mission field. Well, is he called to the mission field? The truth is, the church was led to send Paul as a missionary. Don't turn to it, but I will quickly. Here's what they said. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They, the church, sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. Now, he's a missionary. Hadn't made a decision yet. Why, Paul wasn't his own man, was he? No, Paul knew that there were some seasoned Christians that he ought to trust. So he got saved. He was taken by some friends to Damascus. Taken by disciples to Jerusalem. Sent by the brethren to Tarsus. Brought by Barnabas back to Jerusalem. And when God said, "I want Paul and Barnabas, the missionaries," he did not tell Paul apart from the fact he told the church. So far, he's made five decisions. First, the friends. Second, disciples. Third, the brethren. Fourth, Barnabas. And fifth, the church. The next mention. They take off on this missionary journey. And they go to a place called Cyprus, a place called Paphos in Cyprus. They go up to a place called Pamphylia, then to a place called Antioch in Pisidia. And there in Antioch in Pisidia, we have the next mention of Paul having a decision to make. It says in Acts 13:50 that Paul was expelled. He was kicked out of town. Now, that's the way he found out he ought to leave. I left Southern Baptist the same way. But Paul, now bear in mind, so far, Paul has not made a decision on his own. Disciples, friends, brethren, Barnabas, the church. Do you know that if you're a baby Christian, and by the way, Paul was doing some preaching already too. He was a preacher boy. Now, he wasn't as smart as you Howells Anderson boys, but he was a preacher boy. And so far, Paul had left it up to Barnabas, where he served, the disciples, where he go, the brethren, where he was sent, and the church, the mission field. Then he got to Antioch and Pisidia, and the Bible says that he was expelled. Now, he comes to his next decision. I'm not going to every place where Paul changed towns, though I will after a while. He goes, the next decision is in Iconium. And the Bible says he fled. He ran. That's why he left Iconium. He ran. That's the first decision he made. Now, he fled. Now then, he comes back at the end of his missionary journeys. He has taken an entire missionary journey and not made one major decision on his own. He stays in Antioch for a while, the home church, decides to go back to revisit the churches they've started in Perga, in Iconium, in Antioch and Pisidia, in Lystra, and in Derbe. They go back to visit those churches, and here's what they say. He says, let us go. Let us go. Paul says, let's go. They visit the churches while they're in Lystra. They pick up a young man named Timothy. He joins the group. Then they wanted to go to Asia. But in Acts 16:6 it says, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go to Asia. Then they decided they wanted to go to Bithynia. But the Bible says in Acts 16:7, the Spirit suffered them not. Then they come to Troas. Troas being a port city on the coast of what would now be all close to Turkey. And Paul has a vision. And that vision, he sees a man from Macedonia. Now, where's Macedonia? Macedonia is over close to, it's in the area where Greece is located. And this man says, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, we have the first miracle of God leadership in the life of Paul. First one. Now, folks, listen to me. Paul had gone to Damascus. He had gone to Jerusalem. He had gone to Tarsus. He had gone to Antioch. He had gone to Cyprus. He had gone to Pamphylia. He had gone to Perga. He had gone to Derbe. He had gone to Antioch and Pisidia. He had gone to Lystra. He had come back to Antioch, gone back to Derbe, back to Pamphylia, back to Perga, back to Iconium, back to Lystra, and then on up through the churches in through Galatia, and over to the coast, a place called Troas. And now then, God gives him a vision, and he knows he's supposed to go to Macedonia. That's where the churches, he started Philippi, Thessalonica, the church in Berea, and so forth. And Paul knows he's supposed to go. But wait a minute. He didn't know he's supposed to go any more than he knew he was supposed to go to Jerusalem. You see, God doesn't lead us always the same way. Here is a vision, and Paul goes to Philippi. Now in Philippi, in Acts 16:39, the city officials ask him to leave. He goes to Thessalonica. He is sent away, Acts 17:10, by night. He goes to Berea, and the brethren send him away. He is brought to Athens by some brethren. The same brethren that took him from Berea also took him to Athens, then to Corinth, then to Ephesus, back to Macedonia, Troas, Ephesus, again, and then back to Tyre, which is up in Syria, north of Palestine, and then on to Jerusalem. Now, I don't have time to say all I want to say. I have given you every time that Paul decided to go somewhere, to go from somewhere, somewhere else. All the other times, it just simply says something like this. I'm reading all of them. They departed. They sailed. They came to. They came unto. They returned to. They said, let us go. And he went. Had gone throughout. They were come. We came. They passed through. We sailed away. We had determined to go, minding himself to go. We set forth. It seemed good that we go. I have decided to go. We thought it necessary to go. We're convinced in our own minds to go. We thought it best to go. And it is fitting to go. Now listen carefully. I have given you tonight, give or take a few, I have given you 68 times where Paul changed location. 17 of those times were special. I'll divide them for you. One was a vision. 7 friends led him. 1 the church led him. Twice he was expelled and had to leave. Three times he fled, and three times he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go. The other 51 times, Paul just decided to go. Now follow carefully. 75% of the time, three out of every four times that the Apostle Paul left A to go to B, or left B to go to C, or left C to go to D, three times out of four, he had no vision. He had no voice from heaven. He had no church to tell him. He had no experienced preacher to tell him. He just decided to do it. Now listen carefully. That teaches me that most of the time in your life, you are going to have to decide yourself what the will of God is. That's what Paul did. Now, let me give you some observations about it. Number one, I've said this before. Most of the time, he had to decide himself. I've been serving God full time for 44 years. There have been times when I felt that God spoke to me. There have been times that I knew what God wanted me to do. But most of the time, 75% of the time, at least, as it was in the case of Paul, I had to decide myself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that be the case, you better walk close to God. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you can have the mind of Christ in you, because most of the time, 68 times, only one vision. Only one miracle. 68 times, 30 years. Only one man from Macedonia. Only one vision at night. Only one miracle by which the Apostle Paul was led. I'm saying the hope for you to be in the will of God most of the time is for you to walk closely with your God. I promise you, Brother Randy, you got married not long ago. You probably know that, don't you? Was there a man from Macedonia? A woman from Central Hammond, it was, saying, come over and help us. No. Well, did you see a vision and see Adrian in a vision? No. You dreamed about her an awful lot, but no vision. Was there any kind of voice from heaven that spoke to you? No. No. That means he had to make the decision on his own. No big deal. He had one choice. That's all he had. But I mean, most of life's decisions are that way. Now that means, ladies and gentlemen, with all the responsibility of you and I doing the will of God in our lives, it means that normally, 75% or more of the time, you'll have no help except using the mind of God. Next observation. Only one miracle. Only one miracle. Now, why was that miracle put in there? It's easy. God was asking Paul this time to leave and go to a new continent. It wasn't like saying, go from Hammond to Lafayette, or go from Chicago to Springfield. We're talking about a whole new continent now. And so Paul, and Paul had no idea he was going to go there. Paul wanted to stay there in Asia, which was close by, much of which would now be called Turkey. And Paul wanted to stay there in the churches in the Asia and in the Middle East. And all of a sudden, God said, I want Paul to go to Macedonia. I want Paul to take the gospel to Europe. Finally to Greece, which is the southern tip of Europe. And God said, I want Paul in Europe. I want him to take the gospel to another continent. And so it took a vision for that. When I left the Morris Chapel Baptist Church out in the country out of Pagoda, Texas, to go to Grange Hall Baptist Church, it took one sermon by a Presbyterian preacher on chapel one day at East Texas Baptist College. When I left the Grangehall Baptist Church to go to Southside Baptist Church, I just had a gut feeling this thing to do. I left the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson to go to the Middle Road Baptist Church of Garland. All these churches within 150 miles of each other. I just knew I was supposed to go. When God called me to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, we had to have a miracle. Now I'm saying again, only one miracle. Now, observation number 3. Never a fleece. Never a fleece. Now, what do you mean by fleece? You recall the story of Gideon. He said, if you want me to lead the army, I'm going to put a little piece of material here, and you cause it tomorrow morning to be dew on that piece of material and no dew anywhere else. Next morning, you cause it to dew everywhere else and no dew on that little piece of material. And that's the way God called him. Much like God led the Eliezer, the servant, to find a bride for Isaac. When he said, Lord, I'm going to go to my home country. When a lady comes and says, I see a lady, I'm going to ask her for a drink of water. If she says, may I water your camels also, that's the one. Now that's a fleece. We call that a fleece. But in all of the 30 years of the greatest Christian who ever lived, he never asked for a fleece. Dear God, if you want me to preach, you cause 4 people to get saved on the 3rd stanza of the invitation. All of them have the first name start with an N. That's idiocy. You know, I'm going to open my Bible and wherever I put me, give me a message where I'm supposed to go. Boy, I wish Honolulu was in the Bible, but it's not. I'm saying in 30 years, the greatest Christian who ever lived, not one time, put out a fleece. Observation number 4. In his early days, others made his decisions for him. I mean, by others, I don't mean just anybody. I mean Barnabas, who was the head pastor of the church at Antioch, one of the great churches in all of history. the disciples at Jerusalem and the disciples in Damascus. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be a long time in your life before you are big enough or smart enough to make the major decisions of your life by yourself. I'm going to tell you something carefully. See those hands up there? I could count 10 people in this room right now. I know where you're sitting. 10 people in this room right now who are making the mistakes of a lifetime. But you're going to make the decision yourself. You're not a mature Christian. And you're about to do something going to wreck your life. And I know it. Now, I'm not going to come and knock on your door and say, you're making a mistake. If I tell you that, you'll come to my door. But I want to say this. As a young person, you'd be very, very wise to leave a lot of your decisions in the hands of mature Christians and Christian leaders. Hey, we're talking about Paul. Paul was saved miraculously, and didn't decide where to go. Paul went to Damascus, got baptized. He didn't decide where to go. He went to Jerusalem. He didn't decide to go there. He even preached in Jerusalem. And in the synagogues, he preached. Still, he didn't decide where to go. He went up to Tarsus to testify and preach to his home area. And still, he didn't make his own decision. You say, who do you think you are? God? No, I don't think I'm God. But some of you youngsters don't have the sense, some of those who are older, and not only older, but whom God has given you as your leaders. I'm not wanting to be God to anybody. But I'll tell you one thing, you're no better Christian than Apostle Paul was. And the Apostle Paul was preaching before he'd trust himself to make a decision. Now, listen carefully and we'll close.
It'll take about 10 minutes for this. How did Paul find the will of God in any given case? There are 8 steps. 1, he asked himself, did spiritual leaders advise? Did spiritual leaders advise? 2, did the church advise? Years ago, in Dallas, Texas, there was a famous preacher, probably at one time the most famous Baptist preacher in the world, George W. Truett. Pastored the First Baptist Church of Dallas for about 45 years. Dr. Truett was a member of a little country church. And the church lost its pastor. And God spoke to the church to call young George Truett as his pastor. He was not even a preacher. And they said, God wants you to pastor this church. And he said, but I'm not even called. Well, they said, pastor anyway. God wants you to pastor this church. George W. Truett became pastor of his first church without any personal call. God led him to that church by speaking to the church. Now, that's not always the case. It's not even often the case. But I want to say this. Paul would ask himself a question. He had a decision to make. Did special leaders advise? 2, did the church advise? 3, is it forbidden? Is it forbidden? For example, we know that anything forbidden in that Bible is outside the will of God. And you haven't got to double check it. Well, Brother Howells, he's unsaved, but I love him. I don't care if you love him to death. In fact, it would be a good idea if you did that. But I don't care. You have no right to marry him. God never goes against his word. And you're to never go against the word of God. So Paul said, first, he said, did spiritual leaders... I saw a man raise his hand a moment ago. That man is an evangelist. That man has given his whole life to travel around the country preaching. Sitting right here tonight. That man also has given Jack Hiles veto power for his life. That doesn't mean I tell him where to go. That means he's going to think about going somewhere. He says, if you think I shouldn't, I won't. The decisions he makes. Now, he's not as mature a Christian as I am. He's not been preaching as long as I have. And that's what he's done. Paul said, did the special leaders advise it? 2, did the church advise it? 3, is it forbidden? 4, did God speak? Did God speak? Because sometimes Paul led God by speaking. One time in 30 years. Sometimes God led Paul by the wisdom of Christian leaders. Sometimes God led Paul by the wisdom of the church. I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. If I were a young boy in this room tonight, and if Dr. Evans came to me and said, I was praying about you the other day, and God told me you're supposed to preach. Brother Lapina walked up next day and said, son, I was praying about you the other night, and God told me you ought to preach. And Brother Ed Hawkins walks up and says, son, I was praying about you. God told me you're supposed to preach. Brother John Colston walks up and says, son, I believe God wants you to preach. Brother Ray Borway walks up and says, son, I think you ought to preach. Brother Keith McKinney walks up and says, son, God wants you to preach. And Brother Roy Moffat, let's go on, Brother Jeff Owens. Roy Moffat walks up and says, son, God wants you to preach. Jeff Owens walks up. Bob Booker walks up. Bob O'Clair walks up. I walk up. I'll tell you what, if I was that boy, I'd start preaching. You say, Brother Hiles, doesn't every man have a right to decide for himself? Exactly. That'd make me decide for myself. Nobody can make that boy preach. But brother, if God had spoken to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 godly men and Brother Moffat. if God had spoken to all those men.
Well, you say, I got a right to decide.
You certainly have a right to decide. But I'll bind you one thing, sonny boy. I'd rather trust these 11 men than my own judgment. If I didn't believe what I'm preaching tonight, I would not be standing behind this pulpit right now. We were settled in Garland, Texas for life. We lived 22 miles from my mother. 22 miles from Mrs. House's folks. We lived about 20 miles from where I went to high school. About 25 miles from Mrs. House went to high school. We lived 22 miles from our home church, the neighborhood where both of us grew up from infancy. And we had we were in a town of 27,000 people. Would you like to know how big that town is right now? 300,000 people live in Garland, Texas right now. Hammond, Indiana had 112 when we came here, and 68 now. You give us 30 more years, he will dry this place up. Man, that's the place. Folks moving in there, moving out of here. That's the place. I wasn't about to come to Hammond. I picked up the phone. I called my old pastor. And I said, Brother Sizemore, this is Jack Hiles. I said, I don't know what to do. I think God wants me to spend my life in Garland, Texas. But the First Baptist Church of Hammond has called me to consider to go candidate. And Brother Sizemore, I don't want to go. I don't think I should go, but I felt like I ought to call my preacher. And Brother Sizemore said, Son, do you have a will in the matter? And I said, Yes, I do. I want to stay here. He said, You'll have to lose that. You'll have to lose that will. And then he said, Son, I feel strangely moved right now to tell you this. You ought to at least go candidate and look it over. If I had not called my pastor, there'd be no Howells Anderson College. Probably be no great church like we have tonight. Hammond Baptist school system might not exist. Why? Because I call my preacher. I call my preacher. All right, Paul said, did special leaders advise? He's got a decision to make. Do I have any message from special leaders? Do I have a message from the church? Is it forbidden? Four, do I have a message from God? Five, lose your own will. Six, yield to the Holy Spirit. Seven, set a time to decide. And eight, if God has not given the answer, if the church has not given the answer, if Christian leaders have not given the answer, if you have no special revelation about it of what to do, then you lose your will. And then you set a time to decide, I'm going to make the decision. And when the time comes, you claim the mind of Christ and you make the decision. Now folks, there's no way in the world, no way in the world that you can stay in the will of God without walking daily with God. Hear me carefully. Those special times when God gives a special revelation are easy. But most of the times, you've got to decide. One time in 30 years, a voice from heaven. One time in 30 years, the church told him. Seven times in 30 years, Christian people told him. But 51 times, he decided on his own. Let me give those statistics again, and I'll be through. One time a vision of the 68 times I found in the book of Acts. One time a vision, seven times friends, one time the church, twice expelled, Three times fled. Three times forbidden. 51 times he departed. He sailed. He came. He returned. He said, let us go. And he went. Had gone throughout. They were come. We came. They passed through. We sailed away. We had determined to. We're minding ourselves to. We set forth to do it. It seemed good to do it. I have decided to do it. I thought it necessary to do it. I'm convinced in my mind I should do it. Now, follow me carefully again. You say, preacher, I don't always walk that close to God. Okay, then don't make the decisions. One of the most important sermons ever preached behind this pulpit was, don't make a decision while your decision maker is broken. If your decision maker is not in good shape, don't make a decision. But most people make their decisions while the decision maker is broken. I'm discouraged, so I quit. Decision of a lifetime. Decision maker is broken to pieces. I'm mad, so I quit. I'm bored, so I change. I'm lonely, so I get married. If your decision maker, okay, Brother Ray, I live next door to you. Heaven forbid that. Not for you, it's your wife. But, Brother Ray, I got to mow the yard. Miss Howells is sick, and I've got to mow the yard. I just started mowing it, got about a third through. The blade flew off our lawnmower. Could I borrow yours?
Sure.
Okay. I borrow his lawnmower. Why? My lawnmower will not mow the yard. Brother Ray, I've been discouraged lately. I've been blue. I've been defeated. In fact, I've been a little bit backslidden. I've got a decision to make. My decision maker is broken. Could I borrow yours? Let me tell you what my problem is. Let me borrow your decision maker for a while. Thank you. Doesn't it make sense? It makes sense because most of your decisions are not going to be made by visions. And most of your decisions are not going to be made by God telling somebody else. Most of your decisions will not be because the church tells you what to do. Most of your decisions are decisions that you have got to decide yourself. Now listen, I'll close again. Recovery lane. John, stand up here. Here's a young couple. Here's a couple. Okay. Okay. Now, he just fell for her. John, what'd you think about her?
Cute.
She flits her eyes at him. Yeah. She's got irresistibly yours behind her ears. What do you think about that smell? Odor.
Sends me.
She says, hello there, big boy. Hello? You're the mic, David. I mean, fella.
Hello there, big boy.
Well, I contend he's in no shape to decide what to do. His decision maker is flat broken. Busted. So what does he do?
Ask her to marry you.
Will you marry me?
I need to go counsel with my pastor.
Oh, come on. Quit being...
Yes!
Well, what a response. Now, that's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. And I'll promise you this. As many lives are wrecked over what you just saw as over anything else. That guy's no shape to make a decision. She's in no shape to make a decision. They're carried away with each other and by each other. And all of a sudden he says, will you marry me? Now, at a time like that, folks, what she says is right. Now, she shouldn't be pious like that. I need to go talk to my pastor. He's my spiritual guy. All of a sudden, that perfume would smell like sweat number 7 instead of Chanel number 5. What she should have said, Johnny, I'm very, very, very flattered that you would want to be my husband. And I think a lot of you. Could you give me some time, please? Let me have a few days to think about it. And yes, even pray about it. And yes, I may even want to seek some counsel. Now, Johnny, I'll be honest with you. If I had my way, I'd say yes right now. But give me just a little while to think about it. Now, what does she do? She gets out from under that spell. She goes to seek counsel. Of course, you don't need to, but Paul did. Because you're smarter than Paul. And you're a better Christian than Paul. So Paul would say, I've got a decision I've got to make. Listen now. Did God speak? No, he didn't speak. Are there any things I shouldn't do? Forbidden things? No. Have my spiritual leaders spoken? No. Has my church spoken? No. But I've got to make the decision. I've got to make the decision. How can I make it? Tell you what I can do. Paul said, I can get on my knees and on my face and look up to God and say, Dear God, I have no will in this matter. I want to do what you want me to do. And Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Now, Holy Spirit, if you don't let me know by speaking to me or some of these other ways, within 3 months, I'm going to make the decision. Now, I promise you, if you tell me through these means, within 3 months, I'll do what you say. But if you don't tell me, I've got to make the decision. And I'm going to beg you to let me have your mind and to believe that I do have your mind as I make that decision. Now, most of the decisions of life, you'll make that way. And that's why you ought to walk with God and stay spiritual. And when you're not, for Pete's sake, don't make a decision at all. Either don't do anything, or you seek somebody's decision whose decision maker is in good shape. Sorry, John. She's got to talk to me first. Thank you. Shall we stand, please?